Well, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hey.
So you've been doing a whole lot of research for the book you're working on, and your sister has been a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of the Sherlock Holmes of orphan research.
Sue's amazing.
Yeah. And most recently, you were reading a book called Gentlemen Bootleggers. I love the title, by a guy named Bryce Bauer. And so is bootlegging part of the book, or is this just a personal hobby of yours?
Well, I never even liked the taste of whiskey much until the last 2 years when I was spending more time with Dad, actually. But bootlegging is part of the story that Sue and I are working on because it's a family history story. It will be a historical fiction when it comes out. And
you and the Kennedys.
Oh, my. But from the time I was a kid, I remember Mom saying when we would talk about our relatives on her side that some of her great uncles used to, quote, stir mash up in Templeton in Carroll County, Iowa. And I didn't really know what that meant. And it meant they were supplying product for bootleggers for the product that eventually became known as Templeton Rye. So from a food standpoint, it's interesting to see a community that got together to save their town and their farms using the crops they were already growing. And they were responding to an increase in demand for a particular product, and that was booze, because...
And totally illegal.
It was illegal.
Yeah.
That's right. We're not advocating for bootlegging in right here in this segment. And we're not advocating for that. But I do admire the ingenuity of these farmers because and the townspeople, because they made sure that they could, through bootlegging, stay on their farms, feed their families, and save their community, and that is still a thriving community.
Any idea
today.
What percentage of farmers in, say, Carroll County were contributing to the bootlegging effort?
Everyone.
Every one of them?
There were very few detractors. The parish priest was keeping some of the product in the church. He was handing out little samples of it for people who might want to connect with the farmers,
to wash down the host
instead of the wine.
Yeah.
So bootlegging in Iowa began in 16 because it had already begun to be a dry state, along with numerous other ones around the country. There were strong anti-liquor movements, and the Carroll County and surrounding areas were largely German Catholic, so alcohol was not a drunky drunk kind of a thing for people to do. It was considered a part of a meal, a part of your day, right, a part of a party. So beer, wine, etc. And some farmers in the area found a way, when they weren't able to buy alcohol anymore, to distill some grains that they were already growing. Rye, they were using corn as something to help ferment the yeast, and they were coming up with a really drinkable beverage, and it caught on really big time.
So I wondered, does bootlegging still exist? I mean, it would be legal now.
I suppose if you are making your own liquor and selling it outside of the auspices of the people who regulate the sales of liquor, you'd be bootlegging.
Well, is the process used to make, in this case, Templeton Rye, something like that, are people still doing that? I mean, I hear about home brew.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly that's beer, sometimes it's wine.
I'm sure people distill in their homes.
Yeah.
It just takes some copper products, some copper sheeting, copper tubing, some jugs, some cooling agents.
Probably more sophisticated equipment than they had back then.
Well, people were innovative.
Yeah.
So the point was, these folks were facing a severe farm crash.
I mean, was it because of the prohibition, or was there other contributors?
No, it was the end of the war that caused the farm crash.
Okay.
The rural life compared to urban life had been really growing, and it was the golden era of agriculture. Mm. It was very lucrative, but even before the U.S. entered the war in 2017, it was supporting 1917. It was supporting the Allies, who were already in the war against Germany, by supplying grain to keep civilians fed while their men were away for fighting. So the feds were encouraging farmers to buy and develop more farmland and invest in a lot of heavy machines that would allow them to increase production.
That sounds like the 1980s.
Well,
get bigger, get out, you know.
But the government was also fixing prices to ensure that these farmers could produce this product. Well, when armistice was declared, suddenly that overseas market dried up.
Right.
And the government quit supporting the pricing, and these farmers had bought land, bought machinery on mortgage.
So now
they had mortgaged their homes and their farms, and they had no way to sell and pay for sell their product and pay for this investment.
So they're being forced off the land.
They were being many people were fleeing to the cities and getting jobs, but those who stayed, especially in Carroll County, Iowa, found a way to make it work
with bootlegging.
And everyone was in on it.
Everyone.
Well, wow. The last interesting note is that my aunt and uncle told me years ago that the hills in western Iowa, called the Luss Hills, used to be filled with grapevines for winemaking. When that had to end because of the law, people turned to distilling, and that's when the alcoholism started to get out of control.
So prohibition actually caused alcoholism.
That's what my aunt and uncle told me.
I don't doubt that. Hey, Kathy, thanks for that very interesting little history.
You're welcome.
Good luck with your homebrew folks, those who are doing it.